All right, this is it. My name's Jeff Kay, and you are listening to episode 82 of the world-famous West Virginia Surf Report podcast. I have this old radio here in the bunker, aka my home office, which is located deep, deep underneath a nondescript home in suburban Pennsylvania. You know what I'm saying? It originally belonged to my mother's half-sister, and then my mother had it, and then she gave it to me at some point. I've had it for a long time. And it's from probably either the late 40s or the early 50s. And it looks cool, and it has a backstory that's kind of sad, but very interesting. And let me tell you that backstory. So my mother's half-sister, Wanda. All right, so let's back up a little bit. My grandparents lived right across the street from us. This is my mom's parents, obviously. They lived right across the street from us when we were growing up. Greatest, the best. They're the best grandparents ever, you know, the best that you could hope for, you know. And, you know, the grandparents on the other side were also great, but we were really close to the ones, you know, my mother's parents. They lived right across the street from us. My grandmother basically helped raise us because my parents were always working, you know. So, anyway, this used to mess me up when I was a child, but because I didn't really know how to process it, but Before my grandfather met my grandmother, he had a whole other family. You know, this is not something that was discussed around the pot roast. You know, we're sitting around having the pot roast and we're talking about that first wife or any of that stuff. That's not something that was ever discussed, but somehow I knew about it. And it bugged me for some reason because, you know, he belonged to us. You know, I can't believe it bothered me that there was this other group of people that I didn't know, you know, who he belonged to them too, you know. I don't know. Was it some kind of jealousy thing? Or did I feel bad about the whole thing where they lost him? You know, not really. I mean, he was still involved. You know what I'm saying? But when I was a kid, I had a hard time processing all this stuff. He had a whole other family. And then he met they divorced. And then he met my grandmother and had my mother and my aunt. And there you go. That's the part of the family I'm from. But anyway, with his first wife, he had a boy and a girl. The girl was named Wanda. And from all accounts, very sweet, just normal, you know, everything. People liked her. She grew up in Dunbar just like I did. And all that. So she, when she was 19, I mean, this is the story. This is the way I remember it. This is how I recall this whole thing going down, right? When she was 19 years old, she got a job at Union Carbide, which is one of the big chemical plants. They call it the Chemical Valley, where I'm from. Back in the 60s and 70s and prior, probably. There was all up and down that river was big, giant chemical plants, you know, FMC, Monsanto, you know, all these big, Union Carbide, that was the big one. And I don't know, I guess they located by the river so they could, you know, pump toxins into the, you know, I don't know. Clearly I know nothing. But those were really good jobs. You got in. With a permanent position in one of those plants, man, you were set. You know, those are good. Those are the jobs you wanted. She got a job there at Carbide. I can't remember what she was doing, but she worked in one of those offices, and this is big sprawling. I mean, those places are still there, but it's like a shadow of its former self. You know, I don't even know. Carbide pulled out years ago, but the physical structures are there, and it's, I don't know, somebody's in there. I don't know what's going on. But it's like, it's not nearly as big of a deal as it used to be. But anyway, she worked in an office on the Union Carbide inside the plant somewhere. And they had a, I guess there was a big flood. All the river water come up, flooded some of those offices and some of those buildings there. And she went down there to help them clean up. And so she's in there scrubbing down, you know, whatever, the walls and the, you know, mopping and stuff and cleaning the furniture and all this jazz. And somehow, I mean, right afterwards, they blame it on that. They blame it on the flood, right? They blame it on the flood. And they said there was something in the river water. This is the story. This is the way I remember it. My brother, who's the family historian, might correct me on a few of these, but this is the way I remember it. They believed that there was something in that river water somehow, and she contracted tuberculosis, right? And when she was 19. And I guess it was a bad case. And she was sent to one of those, you know, sanatorium. Is it sanatorium or is it sanitarium? I don't know. But anyway, she was sent off to one of those places. Basically, she was like quarantined from the rest of humanity, you know. And she's in there with all these other tuberculosis sufferers. And it's like, I've seen pictures of this place. I can't remember what it's called. My brother could tell us. But I've seen pictures, and it's like, you know, this big palatial, you know. It looks in the photographs like this, you know, slightly scary, gothic maybe, yet well-maintained with, like, gardens around, you know, the outsides. You know, it's like pretty, but scary. And the whole thing's kind of tragic. Well, not kind of tragic. It is extremely tragic because it's a TB hospital, you know? Or I don't even know, is it a hospital? I don't know. But anyway, she was sent to one of those places in West Virginia somewhere. And she was there for a long time. And my mother, when she was a little girl, would go visit her, but they wouldn't let her. She was never allowed to go inside. So they'd go, and my grandparents would go inside and visit her, and my mother would play outside on some playground or something, right? So she remembers all this stuff. So she was in there from the age of 19 to the age of 29 when she died in there. So she was there for 10 years, you know? That's just a horrible, you know? I mean, just think about that. When she was 19 years old, you know, she was just starting out in her adult life, and she got a good job down at the chemical plant. And she would have, if she'd have stayed, you know, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? What ifs, all these what ifs. And she ends up, I mean, her whole life just takes this radical turn. She ends up in a sanitarium or a sanatorium. I'm not real clear on it. Where she's, you know, sequestered. You know, she can't interact with humanity much. And what she did, she loved music, supposedly. Her favorite thing in the world, from what I understand, was music. Right, and this radio was her connection. It was her connection to the outside world, and it was her, you know, where she got her music. So I guess this thing was super important to her. You know, if you want to be melodramatic about this whole thing, which I'm not, but most people are, many people are. Yeah, I could say, you know, she loves music, and I love music. I feel like a kinship. Maybe we're like, you know, kindred spirits, you know, from across the cosmos. You know, I feel like I always had a special connection to Wanda, even though she died 6 years before I was born. You know, because, you know, we both love music, so I'm saying, yeah, but there's lots of people that love music, you know. Get off it, you know. But anyway, I could go that route, but I choose not to. Anyway, this radio was super important to her, and that's what she that's how she was connected to the outside world, you know. And I ended up with it. So my mother gave it to me at one point. I remember when she gave it to me. I said, so this thing was in that TB place. I said, if I turn this thing on, is there going to be like a puff of tuberculosis come out? You know, she goes, Jeff, that was in the 1950s. I said, I don't know, man. What am I, a scientist? I don't know. So I was a little concerned that the thing might be, carrying spores, you know, tuberculosis spores. I don't know. But anyways, it's been in my office here for many, many years, and so far I haven't got tuberculosis. Is that insensitive? I don't know. It's not really a joke. So that's the story about her, and I ended up with this radio, you know. And another thing, all right. Back when I was in junior high, the junior high school was built in the 1920s, I think. And it was originally the Dunbar High School. It was called Union High or something. I don't. But so it was, when it was originally built, it was a high school. It was this big gothic, I mean, this hulking, big giant, you know, these scary old schools. They used to make them, you know. And so it was the high school. And then at some point it became Dunbar Junior High. That's what it was when I went there. And back up in the library, which I believe was on the second floor, and it was like going back in time. When you walked in there, it was like going back to, you know, the 1800s, it felt like. Creaking wooden floors, you know. And they had new books in there, but they also had a bunch of old ones that seemed like they were from when the school was built, you know what I'm saying? And that was fascinating to me. So I'd pull these books down. I'd go in there and I'd pull these books down. I'd look at the card in the back, you know, to see the dates when people checked them out. And some of them be like in the 30s, you know. You pull a book down, the thing was checked out in, you know, 1937. Sometimes you'd pull one down and it'll be checked out in like, the last time it was checked out was, you know, 1940 or something. And it was never checked out again, you know, that kind of stuff. So whenever I went to the library, I would always pull down these old books, the ones that were obviously old. And one time I pulled one down, I looked at the card, and it was signed by Wanda. In like, I don't know what year, like it feels like it was like 1941 or something. I don't know, I could be wrong, I don't remember. But it was a long, you know, it was a long, 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 back World War II era. Right, and it was signed by her, and it had the date stamped in there, or possibly written, I don't remember. So, needless to say, I pocketed the card, put the book back, took the card, and I still have it somewhere, I think, probably in the basement, boxed up, right? Because I have down in my basement, there are various time capsules down there. There's stuff that's from when I was a little kid. I got all kinds of stuff, because I didn't throw much away, you know, and I have all these little knickknacks and doodads and shit that I picked up along the way, all boxed up. When I left Atlanta, I just took everything that was in my desk at work, put it in a box, taped it up, it's still down there, boxed up, still taped, never been opened, and that was in, what, 96, was it? Yeah, 96. I got stuff from when I was a little kid. I got stuff, so it's probably down there, boxed up. And we're thinking about in the spring, starting to go through that stuff and repackaging it and cleaning up down there. So if I ever, you know, if I start going through that stuff, you know, and I find that, then I'm going to have to figure out some way to display it here in the bunker to go along with the radio. And also, if I start unearthing all this cool stuff from back when I was a youngling, mister, I'm going to be going on some kind of Instagram jag, baby. You know, that's weird. It's like, oh, man, I can't wait to open those boxes. Put that on Instagram. I mean, what kind of What kind of world do we live in? But anyway, so I have that, I believe. I never throw anything away, so it's probably down there boxed up somewhere, signed by her in the 40s. I thought that was pretty cool. So anyway, I'll tell you that sad story about that, about the radio. I think it's really cool. I love radio, for one thing. I love old-time radio shows, and I love all things radio, you know. So my mom probably thought that I would appreciate it, and she was right. So that was a cool thing. The thing I wanted to talk about is, all right, I mentioned when she was 19, she probably had hopes and dreams, you know, just like everybody else. She had probably had an idea of how her life was going to go. And then everything just went sailing off the tracks, you know. But I was thinking, when I was, I don't know, I don't want to say 19, but when I was, okay, say 13. All right. I was thinking, what would the 13-year-old me, which, by the way, most unsightly, you know, when I was 13, whew, man, that's not good. But anyway, what would that ugly child? I wasn't ugly, just hideous. You know, you start going through that junior high thing, that whole transition period. You don't know what the hell's going on. Everything's in upheaval. You know, you're like, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? So, but anyway, what would that 13-year-old Jeff K think of the modern-day Jeff K? And I was thinking about that today, and it tied it in. Somehow this Wanda story tied into it. And I was thinking about that, and I think it would be a mixed bag, you know? For one thing, the 13-year-old Jeff K would be amazed. Not only amazed, but also wildly relieved that I'm able to, you know, have a wife and kids and a house and a car, two cars. You know, I think that would be like, oh my God, how did I manage to do all that? Because when you're 13, or when, you know, even when you're older than that, you're like, how's that, you know, how does that even happen? I mean, it seems like, you know, there's no path to it, you know. For one thing, I mean, I don't think I could even look a girl in the eyes when I was 13 years old. Now I'm married and for a long time, and I have, you know what I'm saying? So apparently I navigated through all that. I don't know how any of it happened. But, whew, that's the weight lifted, you know. I don't know. I didn't think I was ever going to be able to do any of that, you know. So that part would be definitely a positive, you know. So that would be a weight lifted. But then, you know, I'd say, what does he do? What does this old version of myself do for a living? Man, that's not exciting. I thought you were going to be like, back when I was 13, I wanted to work in the baseball industry. I wanted to work for the Cincinnati Reds front office. I had no illusions that I could be a player. I mean, let's not get carried away. But I thought I could work in the office, you know, and that's what I would like to do. I'd like to be adjacent to the Reds players and, you know, all that, the whole Reds thing. And that's what I wanted to do when I was 13. Later, I wanted to work in the music industry, and I did, you know, so at least I accomplished, you know. Wait, that's not what we're talking about today. When I was 13, I wanted to work in the Cincinnati Reds front office. That was my goal, right? And then I'd be like, that's not, you know, what, Scranton? What doesn't make any sense? You know, how does that happen? But you wouldn't know, because you wouldn't know what happened in the middle years. You don't know. Hell, I lived it, and I don't even know. You know, I don't know. How did I end up here? But anyway, so that part, and he's like, I'm just working in an office. I don't know. That's not really, you know, I mean, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to work in an office, but not, I wanted to work for the Reds, you know, not what he's doing, you know. So I'd be mildly disappointed that I didn't do something more exciting and more interesting, you know, for my job. I did work, I worked in the music industry, especially Atlanta. Those were great years. The 13-year-old Jeff K would approve of the Atlanta years. But then when I took that promotion to go to California, things took an abrupt, far less interesting. Not to mention way less fun, much less fun. What's the proper phrase? Less fun, God. But anyway, so he'd be disappointed about that. And then he'd be like, what? He has gray hair. He's like fat, He looked like frickin' Hank Hill or something. So that part, he was that 13-year-old me, even though he was a zitty, greasy little zit spangled little bitch, he'd be like, I don't know, the 13-year-old me had no, he has no legs to stand on in that department, but I have a feeling he'd be judgmental, he wouldn't be happy with the way the physical, but he'd also be relieved that, he made it that far. And when you're 13, and you're in your mid-50s, you're like, damn, that's old, So he's like, all right, he lived a long life at least. It's like, I'm not done yet, but when you're 13, you think, what I'm saying? So I think it'll be a mixed bag, So I was thinking about the Wanda thing. She had an idea of what she would be in her mid-50s or where she would be, And it all went bad for her. And that's a sad story, and I wish I'd have got to meet her. She seemed like a really nice person. And, we had that kinship. Whew, I'm getting emotional across the cosmos because we both love music. you know what I'm saying? All right, I don't mean to make light, because that's not tuberculosis. I mean, I don't know. It feels like people still get that. Feels like it was eradicated, and now people are getting it again. Is there a way to? It doesn't seem like it kills people though. I mean, I don't remember. I don't think they're setting up sanitariums or sanatoriums either, right? I don't know. I don't. Come a long way, I guess. But anyway, so that's what I've been thinking about, and probably not the most upbeat and positive way to start the week. But anyway, that's been on my mind. So what do you think the 13-year-old you would think of the current day you? I'd like for you to let me know. If you want to call in, hey. There you go. How's that for a segue? If you want to call in and tell me the answer, then do it. 570-290-8151. Call in. Say, hey, Jeff, this is Bucky Dent. What? I don't know. Whatever. And just tell me. I think the 13-year-old me would blah, blah, blah. And just tell me the whole story. Tell me what you think. Right? And I feel like somebody just dropped. Somebody just collapsed upstairs. I don't know if you heard that. This is the noisiest place in America. Anyway, so if you want to do that, 570-290-8151. Call me up. Tell me what you think the 13-year-old you would think of the current day you. How that person would react. All right, and or if you want to just call me and give me. Whatever. It doesn't have to be on that subject, but I'm just throwing out ideas. 570-290-8151. That's the number. And speaking of that, I have a message. It's a follow-up from a previous subject we talked about here. It was about I posted this gallery of photographs of people in Asian countries wearing t-shirts and shirts with English writing on it, and they don't know what it says, and it's like translated wrong. It's very, some of that stuff's hilarious. So I posted, like 15 or 20 photographs, and I was on, and I mentioned in the podcast when I was talking about it, how I hope that it goes the other way too, especially tattoos, because these people get these, they get what they think is the Chinese symbol for, I don't know, bravery or whatever, some kind of pretentious bullshit. And I was hoping it would, you know, I think in the podcast I said, I hope it says, I love man balls or something like that. But anyway, I got a call from Patrick, and he told me about an experience. It confirmed my my beliefs and my hopes that this was happening, and he shared an experience with us. So here's Patrick.
Hey, Jeff, this is Patrick from Memphis, Tennessee. I just got through listening to your podcast about the Chinese lettering tattoos, and it actually happened to a friend of mine, or I wouldn't say call him a friend, but I'd say an acquaintance. He got the Chinese symbol for dragon tattooed on the side of his neck, and one day he showed up and pretty dejected. And he told us the story about this little Chinese lady who said, "Wow, you must really like turtles." He says, "What do you mean?" She said, "Well, the tattoo on the side of your neck says turtle." He said, "No, it doesn't. To me, it says dragon." She looked at it one more time and said, "Nope, that says turtle." And this was in the early days of Google. And sure enough, we Googled it, and it says turtle. Yeah, apparently he didn't do his homework. He just kind of walked in the shop and said, "Yeah, I want number 54 right there. That's what I want." So anyway, the look on his face and the dejection and the disappointment was worth it. Was really worth it, man. It was really hilarious. And anyway, that's how easy that can happen. So anyway, Jeff, I've been a listener for about 10 or 12 years. I really enjoy reading the website and listening to your podcast. Keep up the good work. I'll give you a shout later.
Yeah, that makes me happy. I'm glad. You know, that makes me happy that shit's happening out there. Because you know, what did he say? It was he thought it was a dragon. See, this is the kind of stuff, you know. So thanks for calling in, and I appreciate that. That makes me makes my day, and I hope there's many, many more people walking around with what they think is some kind of like you know, dramatic symbol. They're trying to make some kind of statement. They just wanted to get a tattoo. You know, you can't just say, it's a very trendy thing, and I wanted to be like other people. I wanted to be different, like all my friends, and I was going to get a tattoo. I just wanted to get a tattoo. That's basically what I want, you know. And but you can't just say that. So you have to make it seem like you're, oh man, yeah, you're making some. This means you're a hard, deep thinker, you know. This means so much to you. It's a way to commemorate a very important moment in your life, you know. Now it's just a guy that, you know, yeah. Everybody else is getting tattoos. I think I'd like to have one, too. Am I too cynical? But anyway, thanks for the call, Patrick. That makes me happy. If you guys want to call in like he did, do it today. Also, if you want to hear two of these episodes a week, you can do it. There's one way to it. There's one path to the second weekly episode. And that's through Patreon. That's patreon.com/JeffK, patreon.com/JeffK. Just sign up for a $4 per month monthly donation. That's, you know, a per month monthly donation. And in return, as a thank you for that monthly donation, you'll get an extra episode of the West Virginia Surf Report podcast every week. So $4 a month gets you an extra episode every week. Not every once in a while. Not once a month like some podcasts do. Every week, and I'm consistent with it. So if you want to do that, sign up today at patreon.com/JeffK and you'll double down on the Surf Report. All right, I feel like I didn't get enough sleep last night, my friends. My brain is not operating in, you know, tip-top shape. I don't know. But I hope you enjoyed this one. And I will be back later in the week with the Patreon episode for patrons only. And until then, you guys have yourselves a fine, fine week. I'll see ya. Bye.
Nope. That says turtle.